The destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We're due there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
All right, when it comes to two-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
What's up, guys? That's right. My name is James Gutman. You are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity. Today it's Friday. It's April the 14th. It's 2006. And you're listening to WorldWrestlingInsanity.com's weekly show. And guys, you picked a good show this week. I say that every week, but every week it is a good show, and this week is no exception, because who's our guest this week? Oh, you didn't know? Yep, it is the former Road Dogg, former member of DX, member of the James Gang, TNA wrestler, BG James. Brian Armstrong going to be joining us right here on Radio Free Insanity. BG really does not hold back in the interviews that he does, so we've wanted to get him on. And I said this about other people, but him especially, since the day that we started doing this show, we wanted to have BG on, bring him in, let him talk a little bit. Now we got him, so very excited. Should be a good show, guys. Plenty to talk to him about it, his D-Generation X days, things that he has going on now. Definitely the kind of guy who's done a lot within the industry, has a lot to say, and has been a part of wrestling for the breakout period, pretty much. Kind of going against the grain, doing the whole 420 gimmick before it was kind of mainstream with RVD. So yeah, going to talk to him a little bit about that, see what he has going on. Should be cool. But that is part two. But this is part one. So we got a few things to talk about. So first and foremost, one of the things I want to talk about, I don't know how out there this is yet, but out here in New York, we're getting the ECW one-night stand commercials, because obviously it's the Hammerstein Ballroom right here in New York City. So they're trying to encourage us to buy tickets. And one of the interesting things about this past Monday is there was an ECW one-night stand commercial advertising Terry Funk, middle-aged and crazy. Terry Funk going to be at the ECW show. Now, what is the big deal about this? Well, as a lot of you guys know, Terry Funk is one of the wrestlers who participated in my upcoming book, World Wrestling Insanity. And the other funny thing about it is what Terry Funk actually discussed in the book. I mean, he talked about a number of different subjects, but we did talk a lot about McMahon and his version of ECW. So Terry Funk's opinions on Vince McMahon and on Vince McMahon's incarnation of ECW are all documented in my book. You know, the same book that's coming out about 3 weeks before Terry is set to appear at McMahon's ECW show. I think this is going to be very interesting, and it's putting a different spin on this book, because by the time Terry appears, based on his comments, I mean, let me put it to you guys like this. If you just read in World Wrestling Insanity what Terry had to say about Vince McMahon, about Vince McMahon's ECW, about the original one-night stand, I really think that people wouldn't have expected him to be appearing at this year's one-night stand. So it's going to make things very interesting. It's going to be very cool to see as Terry begins to do promos and get everything ready for the ECW show in June, to read some of his comments prior to him signing on to participate and see what he has to say about it. Yeah, again, this is just another thing that popped up as we get closer to the book's release date. We're running into more and more things like this that you guys can be very interested in reading about within World Wrestling Insanity. Some of the other things that are discussed in the book, because people have asked me about it, so I'll give you guys a little bit more of a rundown. Also, within World Wrestling Insanity, the book, we have an overview of Triple H. Probably one of the most intense analysis of the game to date. looking at all the things that he's done in his career since getting married, looking at how things have gone for him, looking at motivations behind things really intensely. So, I mean, honestly, a lot of the debate that goes back and forth with Hunter Hearst Helmsley and people coming back and saying, well, people say this, but what about that? What about this? Well, here's what I do, and I think I said this before. I give you guys my opinion on Triple H, but my opinion on Triple H or any wrestler is never just, you know, Triple H holds people down and that's it, and I'm not saying anything else. No, I mean, my opinion is my opinion, so what I did was I stated it, and then I proceeded to give you guys as much backup as I can for it, and as much analysis for it. So that's in the book. And the McMahon family, kind of how they interact with each other, how they interact with, you know, people within their office, and how they view fans and wrestlers on the payroll and some of the little tricks they do with the trade to get things to go the way they are. We talk about the crazy gimmicks. We talk about, you know, the way the office environment has kind of changed. There's a lot of talk about some of the reality that they've tried to fuse into wrestling as far as work shoots or the, you know, the Tough Enough and the Divas. I mean, that's all in this book. But yeah, as we said too, a lot of the wrestlers who participated have quotes within the book. And as we're getting closer, a lot of them seem to be, you know, settling into their own spots. So, for example, I mean, Charlie Haas, who is still MIA, but yeah, he was slated to return to WWE. He's actually in the book, too. But Terry Funk, really, just a shocker for me to see that he's going to be at the ECW show. When you pick up World Wrestling Insanity and you give a read to what Terry had to say, you'll be surprised, too. So it's actually going to be pretty cool. I think it should be kind of controversial in that respect, just because I can't imagine what that conversation is going to be like when they run into each other at the ECW show after the book had already come out. Because, yeah, needless to say, Terry didn't say that he loved Vince McMahon's ECW. Yeah, no, he didn't say that at all. All right, so yeah, so guys, make sure you check it out. As I said, every week, it's available at Amazon. It's available at Barnes & Noble. It's available at High Spots. It's available wherever you can buy professional wrestling books or just books in general. And it's World Wrestling Insanity by James Gutman. So yeah, definitely grab it while you still can. When the date comes, I believe it's the end of May at this point, May 28th, a lot of the prices are going to go back up to regular book prices. So try to grab now while you can, while the prices are still down. And yeah, you'll have it in your hands, and everyone will be happy. And by the time the ECW show rolls around, you can open the book, and you can flip through it, and you can follow along with Terry Funk. Read what he has to say, and watch what he has to say, and see what's changed. All right, so let's talk about some other things that we have going on in the wrestling community. One of the main things people have written to me about and have been asking about, and is probably one of the most insane things to happen this week, it is the Monster Kane, who has The Shining. For those of you guys who don't know what The Shining is, well, there was a movie in the 70s starring Jack Nicholson, this is probably one of the greatest movies ever, where he goes crazy while taking care of the Overlook Hotel, and his wife, Shelley Duvall, never stopped to think once about his responsibilities to the Overlook Hotel, so he goes kind of crazy, and he wants to kill her and his boy, Danny, with an axe. But Danny has The Shining. And what is The Shining? Well, he sees things, he hears things, and, you know, there's the old guy, he calls him Doc, and, you know, back and forth, whole horror movie. Essentially, you know, he would get, you know, almost like dizzy, his eyes would bug out, you know, and he'd hear things. Well, Kane has that, or at least Kane has something. Here is one of the most ridiculous things I've seen WWE do in a little while. Kane was walking backstage before his match, teaming up with the Big Show against the Mickey Mouse Club for the tag team titles. So he's walking backstage, and all of a sudden, you hear Kane's voice doing a voiceover, but apparently it's supposed to be in Kane's head. And all you hear over and over again is, May 19th, Kane, they're all going to know, May 19th. And Kane is shaking, and his head, he's holding his head, and obviously there's problems, something's going on. May 19th, everybody's going to know. What is everybody going to know? Well, May 19th, Kane's movie comes out. Now, hold on a second, in case you missed Raw, you're probably sitting there going, well, James, that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're doing a little angle to try to sell the movie. That's pretty cool because, you know, they haven't really talked about the movie yet. When people are going to be like, well, what is May 19th? And then they're going to find out it's his movie. So don't jump all over everything. You know, not everything sucks. This is a good way to sell the movie because people will be surprised. I agree with you, except for one little thing. The segment immediately preceding this, WWE told everyone that the movie was coming out on May 19th. Mind-blowing. I didn't really understand where the hell that was going. Okay, first and foremost, the segment was stupid. I'll tell you why it was stupid. It's the same thing that I said all the time. Yeah, wrestling is fake. Wrestling is TV. Wrestling is, you know, a scripted drama, comedy, you know, whatever other genres you want to throw in there. That's what wrestling is. It's scripted, it's fake, it's choreographed. All right, great. It's all scripted and put together. The thing is, though, just because something is scripted doesn't mean you can do whatever the hell you want with it. There has to be certain rules that a show follows. And what makes Raw different than any other show is that the presentation of it all is supposed to be done in a way to imply that what you're watching is at least real in the world of the wrestlers, right? You know what I'm saying with this? So with Kane hearing voices, we can see Kane, and we should be able to see Kane walking backstage and holding his head and, oh my God, there's something wrong with him. We shouldn't be able to hear the voices in his head. Is this making any sense to you guys? And why is that? Well, because wrestling doesn't really have a narrator. It has an announcer. It has people at an announce table. It's put together to be more or less a sporting event with backstage theatrics. And to hear Kane's own voice ringing out as if it was in his head was kind of insulting to the audience, kind of silly too, and really just took away from the whole thing. I think that it was a kind of situation where it could have probably played out better. Had WWE not let us hear the voices, maybe get a shot of Kane sitting I hate to do this, because I don't fantasy book things. You know, people say, oh, you fantasy book. But if I was actually writing this segment, if you want to get across the same point, and could have had a cameraman, let's say, getting his camera ready to go out, you know. Well, guys, we have to go backstage, we have something going on, blah, blah, blah. And there's a cameraman setting his camera up, and you see Kane in the corner by himself with his back to the camera, rocking back and forth, repeating to himself, May 19th, they're all going to know, May 19th, they're all going to know. That would have been effective. Not only would that have been effective, but it would have made sense within the context of what WWE shows are. The voiceover was silly, especially when you consider it was Kane's voice. One of the reasons why it was so silly is the entire time I was hearing it, I didn't really think about the situation I was watching. All I kept picturing was Kane actually with a microphone in a studio doing the voiceover, and how stupid that was. Yeah, I mean, you got to see it. It's the kind of thing that if you do get a chance to check it out, you'll agree. I mean, it definitely seemed off. I don't know where WWE was going with it, what the point was of doing that. But as far as the message that I was imparting, it's about Kane's movie coming out, See No Evil. And, yeah, I mean, I like the idea that it's selling the movie. I don't like the idea that right before trying to present the May 19th as a sketchy date that no one really knows about, WWE told us what May 19th was. I think that was a mistake, too. But can I tell you, I don't make the big bucks, but let's talk about Kane's movie, which I think actually looks all right. It looks a lot like Saw 2 and those kinds of movies, which I've been kind of into. I mean, I love the Saw movies. I think they were put together really well. That same company, Lionsgate Films, which actually makes some really, really good movies. A lot of them are lesser known. I believe they made Dead End, which was this movie that I picked up last year. That was actually really good. In fact, I have it in front of me. I'll tell you right now if it was Lionsgate or not. Lionsgate is kind of known for making kind of low-budget films and turning around and being able to turn a profit on these movies without having to really spend too much to begin with. And it's actually good for a lot of these film companies. And WWE Films is working with them on this one. The thing with Kane, I really hope it works out for him for a number of reasons. For starters, he's a scary-looking guy. I mean, Glenn Jacobs, the look that they have on him now with the bald head, his freaky face, he's just, that's great. Now he's going to want to kill me, you know. Hey, Gutman said you had a freaky face. And he's got like this freaky look to him. So he looks like a monster, and it's not the kind of thing that you can really create with makeup and things like that. I mean, he's got a natural look to him that's scary to people. That's why he's a wrestler, and that's why he's huge. So it's good. I think he's going to play a good character. I think the character matches him. They're not putting him in a love story. They're not putting him in some romantic comedy. They're putting him in a horror movie, which he should be in. The other reason why I want to see it work out is because, folks, God bless Kane. On so many levels. I mean, I think he's a guy who doesn't get enough credit for a lot of the crap that he puts up with. I think if you go back in time and you look at some of the most ridiculous, bizarre angles in WWE history, they've all involved Kane. Kane had Katie Vick. Kane raped Lita and then married her. Kane had Matt Hardy come out and blow up his spot by telling everyone that his feud was fake. Kane dug up his parents and brought them out to Raw when he was fighting The Undertaker right in the beginning. Kane's entire entrance with Paul Bearer, your brother's alive! You know, I mean, Kane has been involved in so much ridiculous, ridiculous stuff. And he has continued to be an attraction, despite all that. And I think that's what's made him impressive, at least to me. And I think when you really break it down, and it's funny, I was thinking about this the other day, and I said, you know what? I said, just based purely on staying power, Kane could be one of the best in the business. Just because, I mean, if you would put anybody else in half of the predicaments that Kane has been in, they would be dead by now, as far as, you know, storyline-wise with characters. Kane is really, I mean, he's rebounded from ridiculous things. He's had some of the strangest, you know, feuds ever. I mean, we all talk about Katie Vick. A lot of you guys weren't watching wrestling back then. One of the main things about Katie Vick, it wasn't so much about the necrophilia, although that was a big part. How often do you hear that statement? You know, it's not so much about the necrophilia. No, but in this situation, it wasn't just about Hunter and his video. It was about undoing Kane's entire gimmick. Prior to this Katie Vick thing, Kane's storyline was that he lived in his dad's basement. And he was never seen by the world, and he was burned, and he was hidden away. And the next thing you know, Hunter comes out, you're a murderer. You're a murderer. You know, and it's like, why is he a murderer? And then it became this whole thing about Kane went to wrestling school and drove the girl to a party. There were empty beer bottles. And everyone's like, what the hell's going on? And then Kane came out. And he wasn't really speaking that much at the time. And he goes, you know, Katie Vick was a friend of mine. And but I didn't kill her, and I didn't rape her. It's like, what the hell's going on? And that would have been an angle that had it been given to somebody else and undone their entire gimmick, it would have killed them. And this was now, you know, 4 years ago. And Kane is still going strong. So, and God bless him. And not only that, and this should be a message to a lot of the guys out there who really like to cut down on WWE while working there. Kane has kept his mouth shut. Throughout all this, while Kane has been under contract, while Kane has been doing things with the company, Kane has not bitched and moaned and pissed and cried about the things he's been involved in. All he's done is he's done his job, and he's bounced back. And that's been cool. I know a lot of you guys think, you know, what's he talking about? You know, Gutman comes down on WWE all the time, and I do. But I do have very strong feelings about people who are presently working for WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor or anywhere you might work. And when they go out and they do kind of those shoot interviews, and I kind of had this issue with Kid Cash when he was in TNA. I always thought it was wrong. If you're contracted by a company, and you're under contract and you're being paid by that company, you shouldn't bitch and moan. You should keep your mouth shut because you're collecting a paycheck. And in that case, you want to bitch, you want to moan, wait until the day your contract goes up, and then go buck silly. Say whatever you want. Johnny Ace, you know, touched me. Whatever you want to say, say it. But while you're under contract, keep your mouth shut. Do your job. And be professional. And in this case, the Big Red Machine has never really been anything but professional. You haven't really... One of those guys that, I mean, you laugh at what he does on TV, but you never hear any stories about it. I mean, you know, people, we hear things, but I mean, mainstream as far as the fans getting wind of things, you never hear anything about, you know, Kane, you know, threw a diva off a building or whatever it is half these guys do nowadays. So yeah, pretty cool, professional guy, been with the company for a while. WWE really should sink a lot more time and effort into him. And if this movie picks up and does well, I mean, there's plenty in his future. He could play sci-fi monsters, he could play horror movie monsters. He looks like a monster, and it's about time WWE took somebody who looked like a monster and gave them a crossover appearance that played into that, as opposed to... Suburban Commando and Mr. Nanny and the Easter Bunny with muscles or whatever the hell else they did. So there you go, guys. See the movie. I'm going to see it. All right? And I don't see wrestling movies. That's another thing, too. I didn't see Walking Tall. I still haven't seen The Scorpion King, believe it or not. I was never really into the films with wrestlers in them. I think my favorite one was Body Slam with, you know, M. Harry Smilak. But other than that, like, it's just always been a thing with me. I don't know. I just never really went out of my way to see a movie with a wrestler just because a wrestler was in it. So in this case, I am going to go. I'm going to go to the theater. I'm going to see Kane in the movie. I'm excited about it. I want to see how it comes together. I love horror movies, too. So this should be pretty cool. The Big Red Machine, check him out. I mean, he deserves it. And God willing, this will be the next step in his career. And, you know, it'll make all that Katie Vick crap worth it. So there you go, guys. Now, there's insanity when it comes to Kane's voices in his head. But there also is insanity when it comes to just professional wrestling in general. You guys know what I'm talking about? Of course you know what I'm talking about. Once again, week number 2 that we focus on the same thing, but from a different angle. Guys, without further ado, here it is. Hallelujah. Can I get a what? What? It's this week's moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone on that, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Lumberknockers.
But full beer is only a four-letter word.
Hide, hide,
hide. The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
Vince McMahon is the kind of human being that should rot in hell.
I'll get you everything you wanted. I'll get you everything you need. You don't need to believe in healing laughter. Just believe in me. Cause Jesus, he knows me, and he knows I'm right. I've been talking to Jesus all my life. Oh yes, he knows me, and he knows I'm right. And he's been telling me everything.
Did you guys have a hard time figuring it out? Yeah. In case you couldn't figure it out from the lead-in, this week's Moment of Insanity was the owner, the chairman, the CEO, the genetic jackhammer, Michael Buffer's illegitimate father, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, going to church, challenging God, and really making just a big spectacle out of the whole shebang. Essentially, no one really should be surprised, because as we all know, and as Vince himself told Larry King,
Vince McMahon is the kind of human being that should rot in hell.
Guys, this week, Monday Night Raw, Vince McMahon and his son Shane decided to take their challenge to the Heartbreak Kid and the God Almighty to a whole new level. And that level involved actually going to a church, walking in, and doing kind of a skit about the whole thing. Let me give you guys a rundown of the skit, because I wasn't offended by the skit. At all. And I'll tell you guys why. Maybe it's just we're desensitized or whatnot, but here's how it went. Vince walked in with his son, and first and foremost, they were going to pay a donation. When Vince found out that they didn't take credit cards, he said, "What kind of racket are they running here?" And, you know, that was kind of the lead-in. Everyone giggled or whatever. They walked in. First thing Vince McMahon does is he tries to wash his hands with the holy water, and Shane is like, "Dad, you know, don't do that." So Vince wants to emulate his son. Not Shane, the other son, the bigger son, and decides to sip up some of the holy water and spit it in the air, and he's like, "Look, Shane, look at me, I'm Triple H, woo!" And he spits the water in the air, and that would, again, was supposed to be another one of those things that you go, what the hell? From there, Vince read out his commandments, just like the Lord has, and Shawn Michaels broke them all. His commandments were stupid. In my opinion, I think the commandments, the way they were presented, was a mistake. If you guys didn't see it, his commandments were things like, thou shalt not throw urine on thy boss or something. Just kind of silly stuff, naming all the things that Shawn Michaels has done in the midst of their feud. I think that was a mistake. I think WWE could have really, if they're going to go balls to the wall with this, they should have really had Vince McMahon produce 10 real WWE commandments and read them, and then reference them in the future when they come back to it, turn around and be like, you know, Vince McMahon can come out a year from now and be like, you know, "You broke one of my commandments," you know, and just that kind of thing. That would have been cool. Instead, they kind of made it a throwaway thing, but whatever. To each his own. The segment didn't end there. After that, Shane McMahon went up, and he had to read a speech that his dad had given him to read. Now, it wasn't really a speech. It was a speech in the sense that, you know, he was reading it. But it was supposed to be a prayer. And it was probably the highlight of the entire segment. And once again, I mean, something about Shane McMahon, dude. When Shane McMahon is playing himself, and he's being his real character, he's good. He could really do his thing. When he's trying to be a badass, I mean, he doesn't look like a badass. He looks like, he looks like what he is. He's a promoter's son who wears a suit, you know. He's not Billy Badass. But when he does this kind of gimmick, it was funny, the son of a psycho. And he came out and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, except for Mr. McMahon and his disciple. Mr. McMahon, whose tan, well-toned body supersedes that of a normal 60-year-old, whose mighty grapefruits produce the life-giving semen that spawned me." Dad, this is getting weird. Yeah, and the way he delivered it differently than I did, because, of course, I'm not going to try to emulate Shane. But I thought it was really funny. It was really a good spot within within the entire segment. I think the reason why it was so funny was that it implied that Vince McMahon had written it. I think they really did a good job with that. It was cool. It made him come off like a nutcase. So I liked it. And then from there, Vince pulled his son back to the top of the altar, and he said, you know, he challenged God again. You know, strike me down, God, if you have a problem with me. And again, funny, Shane backed away from his dad, worried he was going to get struck by lightning. Vince repeated his name, thunder rolled out, and the segment ended. Okay, let's take a look back at the whole thing now. First of all, people have asked about this. I don't know exactly where they did this. I was kind of hoping maybe it was just a set of a church. I can't imagine a real church will let somebody come in and defile the church as they did. But one of the main things about this segment that people have to understand, and if you watch it again, you'll notice this. Vince McMahon and Shane McMahon and everybody, essentially, has made very special care, not to mention Jesus, when doing this. Because, and I mean, I do satire, guys. I do parody. And one of the things that when you do these kind of these comedy angles or these comedy articles or anything that you have to write down that involves trying to parody something or do satire, you have to know kind of what's funny, what's over the line, what works, and what doesn't work. There was a movie, if you guys never got a chance to see it, The Sunshine Boys. It came out years ago. I think there was a couple of versions of it. The one that I always liked had Walter Matthau and George Burns. And in the movie, Walter Matthau plays this old vaudeville comedian. And he tells his son, certain words are funny. You know, I think he was like, you know, cabbage is funny, lettuce is funny. You know, he's naming all these words that are funny. In this case, God, I think, could be referenced for humor, but Jesus can't. And you have to be kind of conscious of that when you go into angles like this, because you can see it play out. They knew. If they would have said a specific name, or even a specific religion, because they also haven't said anything about Catholic. You never heard Vince McMahon say Catholic, Jesus, Christian, Holy Spirit, Moses, you know what I mean? Certain hot-button words to different religions, whether Jewish, Catholic, born-again, whatever, aren't said. Vince is keeping this very kind of in the grand scheme of things, you know, God, everybody kind of believes in God, you know, people can laugh about it and say things about it, because essentially it's not really specific to a religion. Even though they're in a church, even though visually you can tell what it's supposed to be, they don't say it point blank. And one of the main parts where I expected Vince to say it, if he was going to say it at all, was when Vince was talking to the Lord Almighty, and he said, you know, you have your disciple, Shawn Michaels, you know, and I really thought that when the next comparison was going to be, because he was making comparisons, saying, well, I have my disciple Shane. I was expecting, you know, you have your son and I have mine, but he didn't do that. So, yeah, I mean, it shows that WWE is trying to keep it as lighthearted as possible, trying to avoid any real problems that they're going to hit from a lot of these, you know, anybody who could be offended by it. I mean, there's a fine line between being offended and laughing about it. And I think had Vince said something to the effect of, you know, my son Shane can take your son Jesus, you know, and then they would get letters, and I think we'd be having a different conversation this week. But he didn't say that. Kind of kept it lighthearted, kind of kept it going. And it shows that WWE is playing with this. They're trying to make it as silly as possible, even though the subject matter is a bit heavy. One of the other things about this that you have to look at, too, and it's weird, but I don't think they've crossed the line yet, simply because Shawn Michaels is agreeing to the angle. Shawn Michaels, you know, I mean, his, a big part of his life is his faith. I'd like to see them keep it where it is right now, and I think if Michaels is making sure that things are on the up and up and that they don't get over the top ridiculous, I think it's going to be okay. And I think it's the kind of thing that WWE can joke about to an extent, as long as they don't specifically target a religion, as long as they don't specifically target a belief held by Christians and Catholics as opposed to, you know, another religious belief. I mean, that's a big thing. Everybody, in the grand scheme of things, you know, every religion has a God. They have, you know, a final supreme being, no matter who that might be, Allah, Buddha, you know, Yahweh, whoever you want to preach to. A lot of the religions all kind of have that main, mighty, you know, God, the Almighty. But then it's the other things after that that we kind of start to disagree about. So as long as he keeps it general, I think that he's going to be all right, and he's not going to catch hell about it. A lot of people are getting upset about the fact that he's even bringing it up, but really, at this point, Vince McMahon has brought up so much. I mean, we had Muhammad Hassan and Daivari. I mean, who could forget? You know, ever since 9/11, it's like, yeah, I got you, dude, ever since 9/11. Eugene sucking on his fingers, and, you know, everyone calling him a dummy because, you know, he's retarded, but he's not really retarded in real life, but retarded people are funny, huh? So, I mean, there was that. There was rape, necrophilia, you know, Al Wilson had sex until he dropped dead. you really, I mean, you got to look at it in the grand scheme of things. I don't think that this is being done so much to shock people or whatnot. I think it's really being done to get Vince McMahon over as a satanic heel. And as we mentioned before, and as, again, as Larry King knows,
Vince McMahon is the kind of human being that you're rotten
exactly.
Hell.
So, I mean, the end of the day, the entire thing is just being done for laughs. And whether or not you find it funny, well, that's up to you guys. You might not have found it funny, but a lot of you guys definitely, definitely found it insane. Zah said, I gotta agree with all that craziness that took place on Raw. The entire segment from beginning to end with Vince and Shane in the church was flat out my choice for moment of insanity. Wolf Child is going to go with the church as well. He still thinks it's hilarious. He said, and Shane deserves an Academy Award, in my opinion. His facial expressions are priceless. Exactly. Shano, if you're listening to this, buddy, we love you. And you definitely deserve an Academy Award. I thought Shane did a great job with the way he presented himself. And his faces the last few weeks have been really good, too, trying to play off of his dad's insanity while trying to keep himself as a grounded member of the McMahon family. Quadruple Tree, I guess that means four trees, says, that segment in the church was totally insane. First off, how did Vince convince the church to allow them to cut a promo such as that in their building? Did they ask them any questions to ascertain whether it would be objectionable to them? I mean, the segment bordered on being sacrilegious, with Vince using the holy water to mock Triple H's entrance, and Shane parodying the psalm, to Vince daring the man upstairs to strike him dead. I can imagine a non-wrestling viewer happening upon the segment and being very offended. Did VKM care? No. But then, since when is he given a damn? Based on the general quality of the product, never. See, and Quadruple Tree's sentiments right here are echoed by a lot of people. A lot of people kind of feel the same way. I think in this case, this segment, and as I mentioned this in the Raw Report, might actually have ended up doing more damage than good. Even though I wasn't offended by it, even though I think a lot of people out there weren't too offended by the situation, I think that the way it was presented, there's a lot of people out there who they don't play around with that. You know, end of the line, God is not to be used as comedic fodder. And I think those people are going to be turned off from the entire angle, no matter where it goes or how you present it, just because, I mean, you know, certain people, you know, there's beliefs, you know, you have beliefs, and you know, you have to have certain things that you hold on to, and, you know, for some people it might be one thing, for some people it might be another, for some people it might be nothing, you know, as far as what can and can't be joked about, but everyone's got a different thing. I found that when it comes to religion and it comes to God, a lot of people don't play at all, so had they done the angle with this really strong purpose behind it and a real need to present this angle, then maybe I could see that. But the main problem, I think, with the God skit was that while Shane's part was kind of funny, it was ultimately a pointless skit. It really didn't do too much to advance the storyline. I wouldn't have cut it from the show. I would have still done something similar to this had I've been booking this angle of Vince McMahon against God for some reason. However, I would have made the segment in church a little more consequential. As I said before, maybe created real commandments for Vince to use, maybe have some sort of attack in the church. You know, even have a churchgoer or somebody come in and want to use the church and then have Shane, like, throw him out physically, something like that, that you could really look back on and say, well, at least they did it for that reason. With this, the only real reason I saw to do it was kind of get a few laughs, but yeah, I think it was going to turn off more people than it was going to really turn on to this match, because it really wasn't too much to it that you could grasp onto and see as a tangible thing. But, guys, it happened. At the end of the day, it was the moment of insanity, and it was this week's moment of insanity. The church, the son, the boss, and the Lord all getting together to provide us with one major moment of insanity. Remember, guys, voting starts now for the moment of insanity. There won't be a show next week, so you can vote for the moment of insanity. We won't necessarily have one. I mentioned this on the boards. I'm going to have something up on the site, too. I'm going to be away for a week. There won't be any Raw Insanity on Monday, no Radio Free Insanity next Friday, but the week after. But what you guys do, go register at our Insanity forums. Go to my message board up at the top and vote for the most insane moment of the week. If it happened on TV, if somebody did something, if there's something wrestling related, go ahead, put it on there. The more insane, the better. And who knows, maybe you'll have your rant read right here on Radio Free Insanity. Wouldn't that be fun? That'd be fun. Who doesn't like fun? You don't like fun? What's the matter with you? All that being said, terrific, splendid, wonderful, guys. It's time for you to go over to part two and listen to our special guest. And if you don't know who that is, well, I got two words for you. BG James, so definitely check it out. Go over to part two and give it a listen. Don't get lost as you go over there. See you there, guys.
Somebody.
brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.